It comes in many forms: milled, red, aromatic, sticky, and it's a staple for more than half the world. We're talking about rice. Now, the United States grows tons of it commercially every year, but there's a native plant in Minnesota that's been harvested in a very specific and traditional way for generations. Producer Jenny Cecil Moore brings us this story.
So you can see it's clean. I mean, this rice is very clean, but you need to just get off all that smoking and all these other processes. You can see it's cloudy, so we'll rinse it till it gets clear.
That's Marcia Levine. She's preparing wild rice from northern Minnesota.
Yeah, the rice has been on about 5 to 7 minutes, and you can already see that it's softening up. I want those grains to all open up, but I don't want them open for a long time so it gets mushy.
Marcia and Chuck Levine are Minnesotans who've spent time in the rural north of their state over the past 30 years.
The town where we've had our cabin is Nevis, Minnesota, basically midway between Fargo and Duluth.
Thousands of lakes dot this region, which is home to an indigenous grain, Minomin, or wild rice. It's an aquatic grass that grows in shallow waters. Levine has been active in the movement to recognize and protect the grain. It's ready for harvest in late August or September, and Levine experienced ricing firsthand.
One person is standing, pushing the canoe through the water, which may have a pretty soft bottom. And they don't use a regular paddle. They have something that looks more like duck feet. And the other person sits in the canoe and holds two wooden sticks, heavy wooden sticks, called knockers. The person harvesting puts their arms back, kind of like you're swinging a bat, pulls the rice down into the canoe. It's hard work.
Once the canoe is full, the rice is bagged and set aside for aging. Next, it will be hand-parched, which is a simple processing method.
So it goes into a big drum that's rolling with a wood fire underneath it, so it gets a kind of toastiness to it.
This wild rice is considered an endangered food. It's among a few other foods in the U.S. that make up the Presidia, a designation of the Italian organization Slow Food Foundation for Biodiversity. Foods that qualify have been nominated by food producers and communities who actively protect a culturally significant food.
The Minomin, the good berry, that's a staple food of the Anishinaabe Ojibwe. It's part of our creation story. We view it as one of our most sacred gifts. It's actually a covenant between the individual and the creator on making sure that it's picked in a good way and used for the purposes and that it was intended to be used as a food and barter tool.
Dale Green works with the Native community on the Leech Lake Reservation in Cass Lake, Minnesota.
When I say my name, I'm telling you my Ojibwe spiritual name is Bidanaquit. That means approaching cloud. When I say Hmong, Nindu Dame, it means my clan is the loon. And Missinanakwa and Minomineki Nindun Jaba is I come from the island surrounded by wild rice, McGregor, Minnesota, the East Lake Refuge.
Green speaks Ojibwean and grew up on the lakes harvesting wild rice. He says it's a singular experience.
The silence is quite loud out there because the birds making their noise, the Minomin plant in the wind interacting and singing for you, and of course the sloshing of the water that's alongside the canoe or the boat that just has its own rhythmic sound that is almost indescribable unless you've been able to enjoy it.
The tradition of ricing has greater importance than just as a source of food. For Native people in Minnesota, it's a way to impart shared values and cultural history.
The cultural practices that could be translated as being pro-social activities, you know, they have language associated with those activities, whether it's in Ojibwe, English, the wild rice, maple sugaring, berry picking, it provides for morals and values. One person is speaking and passing them to another person, or more importantly, one generation to the next. When those cultural activities were outlawed and the people that practiced them became criminalized, it created a void. And like many things, when there's a void, something fills it.
Green is referring to drug and alcohol dependency, and even gang activity that emerged as cultural practices were banned by U.S. authorities.
If we can revalue the cultural activities, we're doing a major part of addressing those social ills that affect many of our families and communities by revaluing what we already have or what was given to us.
In addition to being culturally endangered, the rice has continually faced other threats. The damming of rivers and streams, which can cause flooding, mines that leak chemicals into the aquifers that feed the rice beds.
The most alarming thing is the pipelines. The rice beds are kind of an indicator of what could possibly go wrong with the pipelines. Any leakage is going to seep into the drinking water. Anything that happens upstream here will affect those downstream. It's just mind-boggling that in this place that we take for granted, the drinking water is being put at such a supreme risk.
Protecting these waterways is critical for the environment and for the region's cultural heritage. Although its story is tied to deep-rooted issues, the rice remains a simple pleasure.
I really just enjoy wild rice with a little maple sugar and blueberries, and that's the greatest taste in the world to me.
The grain goes well with almost anything. Marcia Levine has her own traditions with Manomen.
We make a dressing, a stuffing, wild rice, Italian sausage, pancetta, and red pepper. That's a staple for our Thanksgiving. A natural with wild rice is walnuts, onions, mushrooms. You can almost, just by saying that, taste it.
Manomen draws its taste from the beauty of its surroundings. The light, wind, and water of northern Minnesota produce a food that has sustained generations. As for the pot on the stove,
it's there. We'll just turn it off and cover it and let it sit for a few minutes.
Jenny Cecil Moore is a Seattle radio producer whose work explores culture, art, food, and history. She's currently covering the story of endangered foods in the United States. And a special thanks to Northern Community Radio in Bemidji, Minnesota. Now, for more information about this story and to get Marcia Levine's wild rice recipes, head to the website, splendidtable.org. And while you're there, look for a wild rice pilaf recipe from our pals at America's Test Kitchen. It's part of their Thanksgiving celebration menu, and it's just for you.